When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm going to do a speed run of why you should get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Listen to all your favorites abroad when you're traveling. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, especially on that public Wi-Fi, airport, coffee shop, venue, hotel. You can also get the Nord Password Manager in case you're always forgetting your password. It's available on all your devices and operating systems, whether it be TV, phone, laptop, desktop, whatever. You can even put it on your router. They also have the file encryption tool to help protect that. 24/7 tech support, so in case you don't know how to use it, they'll help teach you how to use it. It's the fastest VPN on the planet. You can change your virtual location with just one click. Maybe the game's blacked out, you want to get pay-per-views at other prices. NordVPN.com/Fightful has all of that, and there's always a great deal going on there, but here's the best deal. 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. But you're gonna. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. Here with a name you know. How couldn't you know him? WrestleMania main eventer. A Fightful Award winner this year as well. You can see him at Clash at the Castle facing Chad Gable for the Intercontinental title. You can always check him out at SammyForSyria.com. It's Sami Zayn. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I think it's the first time we've done an interview. Man, like I've followed your career for an awful long time. And it seems like when people say, what can he do? There's always something else that you find yourself able to do. You're involved in this program with Chad Gable right now that has integrated the Alpha Academy. How are you feeling heading into Scotland? As it's not uncharted territory for you or anything. You've wrestled there numerous times.
Yeah, but, you know, I remember watching Clash at the Castle last year, and granted, that was in Wales and all that, but I wasn't on that event, and I did have a little bit of FOMO just missing out on that, so it'll be good to go and perform in front of that kind of audience. I think you've seen, if you with Backlash, even last year in Puerto Rico and Backlash this year in France, the Saudi events we're doing, the events in Montreal and Australia, all these sort of international PLEs that have kind of become a bit more commonplace now. You're just seeing the excitement of the fans really, really pour through your television or your, you know, computer screen or whatever it is you're watching it on these days. But it's infectious. And I think it adds such a dimension to the matches and to the product and everything else. So I think it's very exciting. I've gotten to wrestle Chad Gable many times now. And I think our batting average is pretty good. And I think, so I'm just excited, especially now with the story with Otis and Alpha Academy and all that stuff. It just gives it another dimension and another layer. And so I think when you add that into a match that's, you know, given a little time, because these PLEs also have less matches on them now, so each match has a little bit more time to breathe. I just think all the ingredients are right for something pretty special.
How do you feel about the less matches on PLEs? For a lot of wrestling fans, you know, they're creatures of viewing habits, so initially they're like, that's not a lot. Then you watch it, and it does get a lot more time to breathe, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings on it because certainly as a performer, if you're not figured in, like, you know, with seven or eight matches, there's a little more real estate and there's a better chance of getting on. But now, even if you're in a pretty prominent story, it still just might not make the and it's, you know, not to say anything of the quality of your story or the quality of your performances, but it just might not be factored in if there's only five matches. Like, five is really not a lot. But it's a quality over quantity sort of mentality, which is hard to disagree with. And I don't know. I do think, like, it's been better.
I feel like it adds bigger matches to television, too. Like,
and it makes SmackDown. Yeah, and it makes matches that are actually on the event feel very important because there's only five. So it's like if this made the grade, you know, it subconsciously tells the audience like, hey, this is something the company's invested for, therefore we should be invested in it emotionally. You know, I think that's, there's like a subconscious component to that that I don't think is often factored in with fans, which is like fans kind of know their part in the dance a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're, when they see like, oh, this is something we're supposed to care about, they care about it. You know what I mean?
You have had the most like insane WrestleMania run. I don't know if I've had, I don't know if I ever had more fun watching a wrestling match than you and Johnny Knoxville. All my friends were over and some of them hadn't watched wrestling in years. And we saw that match and like we were just ready for whatever happened next there. What was it like preparing for something like that, that is categorically different than maybe any match you have ever had before?
Yeah, for sure. very unique scenario, very unique circumstance, very unique match, very unique performers. I think that's why I just enjoyed it so much. It's like, it kind of can't be replicated. It really can't. I don't know, just something I'm very, very proud of.
Was there anything that you all pitched that couldn't, that what maybe wasn't even plausible to happen, or anything that maybe didn't get to happen that you guys had in mind?
There was a lot, you know, so funny enough, I recently did this comedy show as part of this Netflix is a joke festival, which was pretty fun. And it was in Los Angeles. And of course, Johnny Knoxville, who I haven't seen in years, shows up and, you know, gets involved in the show and whatever. It turned into a whole thing. I don't want to get into it, but all this to say, it kind of started getting me thinking about the match with Knoxville again. And, a lot has been said about the match with Knoxville, which again, I am very proud of, but, something that kind of gets glossed over is the buildup to the match. People don't really remember that. And that was some of the most fun and most creative stuff I've ever done. And there was a lot more in the buildup that I wanted to do that we never got to do. There was all kinds of stuff and some of it was pretty crazy. But that's the stuff that I remember really investing into. That was really like a precursor to the Bloodline. I mean, quite literally actually, because that story and the humiliation coming out of that match was what, from a character perspective and from a storyline perspective, was like the fuel for respect that the character needed to seek out the Bloodline. But in another sort of way, from a creative perspective, it was a precursor because of the mental energy and the creative juices and all that into how to construct a story and how to get us there. And again, a lot of really unique things. Like, I mean, him putting out my telephone number and me getting all these calls and like answering FaceTimes from the fans and all that kind of stuff. There's no other match you'll ever do where part of the buildup to the match is answering FaceTime calls from fans while you're in the bathtub. Like that just, you know what I mean? I've never done that before. I'll never do it again. And actually I kind of got addicted to it at one point where, I was doing these loops, you know, like driving town to town from live event to live event, and the phone just wouldn't stop. So it would like kill the drive. 3 hours, I'd just be answering calls. And actually like I grew to enjoy it because it was an interaction with fans in a way that simply just didn't exist. It's never existed before and it'll never exist again, where you just have a wrestler's phone number and then you call him and he answers. And he's like, I would start out in character sometimes and I'd answer the call like, what do you want? Stop calling. And they're like, this isn't Sami Zayn, is it? I'm like, you know, it's Sami Zayn. You called me. And they're like, oh my God, it's actually him. And then like, you would hear the excitement of them getting their friends and family into the room. Like, it's him. It's him. He picked up. And then it was just so exciting for me to feel their excitement. Again, it was just such a unique thing that I don't see that happening ever again. But I was just so lucky to be a part of something like that. Yeah, so I guess when it comes to the match itself, there's also the constraints of time. You know, especially with WrestleMania being a heavier show, there were more ideas I want to do with respect to the actual match itself, but you know, you just don't get time. But I'm still very proud of what came out, and I do think, in some manner of speaking, I'll be tied somehow to Johnny Knoxville for the rest of my days, and him tied to me, at least in the wrestling world.
If he hit you up, would you do the next Jackass movie? Would you do like a skit or a segment or a stunt even?
Yeah. We don't really have that kind of relationship. It would probably have to go through some intermediaries because sure. He doesn't like me, and I don't really like him, but I also think he's like kind of obsessed with me because, again, he showed up at my show. I haven't interacted with the guy in years, and he still stalks my Instagram page, and like, he's always commenting and insulting me. It's been years. he's a bit of a lunatic. And actually, what was really funny was, a year removed, just talking about that, like the bridge between WrestleMania to WrestleMania to WrestleMania. So you go from one WrestleMania where I'm doing this stuff with Johnny Knoxville, and the next year, you know, the Bloodline story caps off in this really remarkable way. And Johnny Knoxville showed up to WrestleMania 39. But I guess he wasn't privy to the fact that like things had changed, you know? So he was actually in the stands, and I was seeing some amazing videos. Like, I got to try to find them of him. Like, he's got to be drunk. He's belligerent for sure. And he's like, "You suck, Sam." And he's getting booed by the entire section, because he's still, "You suck, Sammy, blah, 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 blah." And he's like, oh, it was just wild. It was wild.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about, again, your versatility at WrestleMania. I mean, this year, WrestleMania, the match with Gunther was incredible. The Brainbuster spot on the top rope is something that people have, you know, often brought up as a thing that they would love to see again. In a previous interview, I spoke to Kevin Owens, and he was like, yeah, there were a few times during my WWE run I tried to get the package pile driver worked in, just wasn't the right time or couldn't get the approval. What was the process of that, like, you know, making sure that it was okay to do and all that stuff? Because it's not something we've seen a ton of in WWE.
Yeah. So for sure, timing played a lot, a big part in it. Because there were other times where I thought of, you know, pulling it out, but it just didn't seem right. And this year it felt right. And also, you know, with Hunter in charge, and he's a wrestler and all that kind of stuff.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas' boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stuff. I think there's a bit more leeway for that kind of stuff, but it's also different with the package pile driver, because that's a pile driver, and you know, a pile driver is just, it is different from a brain buster, which it's, I mean, this is a very minor difference, but it's a significant difference. But a pile driver has the potential to compress you more on the top of your head, whereas the brain buster, even if it goes kind of awry, it's a little bit more on the back of the neck. Again, we're getting technical, but that is a pretty big difference. And I think that's why there's a lot more apprehension with regards to the pile drivers. So I think, you know, I still think there's a chance we might see the package pile driver one day in the right circumstance. But I think that's the thing, is the circumstance. And another, one of the other apprehensions I had about doing the brain buster was like, how do you come back from that? If that becomes like your finish, how do you go back to like the kick or the blue thunder or the whatever? It just becomes like, that becomes the new standard, you know? So that was part of the reasons I was apprehensive about it. But again, this year just felt like the right time and the right match and the right circumstance and the right opponent.
What was the reaction like when you had kind of pitched that? Was it just sure, we trust you, or was there some back and forth there?
I don't remember it being much back and forth. I remember, I remember it being a pretty painless process, to be honest.
Had Kevin ever done the, what was it called? The Steenalyzer? Was that what it was? Where he had somebody up on his shoulders and it was like the inverted full Nelson and he pinned them with it?
I don't see that one coming to WWE.
they put it in the video game. They put it in the video game. Really? And I was like, oh my God. And he was like, yeah, there after a couple times I had to let that one go.
That one's got to go. Yeah. And that one, you need like a certain type of opponent. And we don't have a lot of those types of opponents in WWE. And there's just a lot of stuff that you just got to let go of at a certain point. Cause I mean, sometimes I'll see footage of old stuff I used to do 10, 15 years ago. And it's like, there's a reason that stuff stops, you know? You just got to enjoy it while it's there. So we had the Steenalyzer and may it rest in peace.
We also saw your original WWE theme music make its return. How did you feel about that when it happened? It's something very sentimental to fans to hear that, because it's so feel good.
Yeah, so I had reservations about it initially, but I think at the time it kind of made sense. There's a real affection towards it from fans. So I wanted something new, but it also kind of made sense with it being a bit of a rebirth, you know, especially because it was in Montreal and all that kind of thing. It kind of lined up. But I was advocating at the time for something new or something kind of old, but it would have been new. But all this to say, there are times, and there definitely have been times, where I was just kind of tired of that song, or I felt it didn't really fit anymore. But I don't know, fans really like it. And it does, I mean, it's a very unique theme song, if nothing else. Like, definitely doesn't sound like anybody else's theme song. So, you know, I'll take it. And it does make people feel a certain way. And I don't know, it's very uplifting. And I think there's definitely a big component of that to my character. So it hits the mark in a lot of respects. You know, I'm not going to complain about it.
We mentioned, of course, Scotland this weekend, a Clash at the Castle on Peacock. You've wrestled all over the globe. And I mean, like, multiple times over, all over the globe. Is there anywhere specifically that you would want to compete, whether it be a venue, a location? There's like the Sphere in Las Vegas. I've heard people say they'd like to do a show at Red Rock, like all kinds of cool stuff like that.
Well, one place that I've been advocating for, with regards to these new international PLEs, is I would love to do a PLE in Santiago, Chile.
Okay.
I've long said that's one of the best crowds, if not the best crowd in the world. And, you know, they're not playing a part. They're not like, oh, look, we're on TV, or let's show them what good crowds we are, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying when you go down and perform there, there's just like an authentic passion that's very hard to articulate, but you can feel it. And I love that country. I love those people. I love Latin America. I love the people. And I would love to have a PLE there. And I would love to do something significant at a PLE there one day. But that's, I don't know, man. Our fans are really good kind of everywhere these days. You know, you go to Europe, they're amazing. I'd love to wrestle in Africa. I'd love to do something there. You know, South Africa, we used to run ages ago, but, you know, anywhere. Africa's my last continent, I guess, you know, excluding Antarctica. Even that'd be awesome. But In fact, when I wrestled in Chile the first time in 2011, I found out that Chile is actually the country that has like the most actual land claim to Antarctica and is the closest country to Antarctica. So I was trying to get the independent promoter that I worked for at the time to try to run a show in Antarctica just so I could do it.
Just so you could check all of them off.
Yeah, and how historic would that be? You'd be the only person to ever run a show in Antarctica. And there are people down there, so, you know, I don't know. I thought it would have been something. But I don't know. That's a tough one. Santiago is the first place that comes to mind. But there are so many places I haven't been that I would love to go. And I think, you know, you say I've wrestled a lot of places, but the truth is, like, anybody who's been in WWE at this point has probably wrestled in almost an equal number of countries because WWE goes there. But I think the reason I have that reputation is because I did that before WWE. That was already sort of my MO, was trying to find as many countries as possible and wrestle in them all. So if there is an opportunity to go somewhere that WWE hasn't been already, I mean, I'd definitely be up for that, you know?
Yeah, I think you've wrestled in Scotland like a half a dozen times for WWE already. So
Exactly. And on the independents, I think I only did it once or twice, but always a great crowd. Always a great crowd.
Yeah, I found a match with the late Lionheart, actually, that you had done in Scotland.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You know, I think I remember I met Noam Dar there, I want to say, and he was like he was 14 or 15. It was wild, you know? How long we've all been around now.
Speaking of, like, I mean, I like looking back through your cage match and stuff, I see stuff very early from like you and Kevin where you were in a triple threat with PCO or somebody like that. Yeah. And was there a time, like maybe even early on or your first few years, you locked up with someone and you're like, yeah, they're probably going to end up in WWE.
No, not early in my career. No, because it's hard to remember how things were back then.
Sure.
And like, I mean, look at the independent names that were left on the independents.
Sure.
For 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, 10 years. Brian Danielson, Seth Rollins, myself, Kevin, Nigel McGuinness, who was unbelievable. All these guys were just doing the indies because guys just didn't get signed back then. We were really kind of off on an island doing our own thing and creating our own thing, which sort of became, now in hindsight, looking back, what a special time it is or was, especially for the independents, that you could go see these world-class performers and everybody's better than they were now. But at the time, like, we were still really good back then too. Like, if you look at a PWG poster or something from 2009,
incredible,
or like a Ring of Honor poster from 2008 or something like that, I mean, the amount of talent you have that have all gone on to be in WWE or AEW or TNA or whatever, Japan, it's like it's a world-class roster. All this to say, it was really hard to tie up with someone and go, oh, this guy's good enough to be in WWE, because we were all good enough. It wasn't about talent. Like, the real talent at the time, the mentality was like the real talent was actually there. And what you were getting in WWE was kind of just something else. You know, not to say they weren't talented, but they were just looking for something else. It wasn't like, it wasn't based on talent or exclusively on talent. Like, I didn't lock up with Brian Danielson and go like, oh, this guy's not quite good enough for WWE. You know, like, it wasn't like that. It had nothing to do with talent. There was a lot of other variables back in the day. And it's hard to remember because the world of wrestling has changed so much and the landscape has changed so much in a way that may even be regrettable in some respects, because, you know, you're not going to get guys developing on the independents and going through that, the wave and the kind of circle of life sort of process that gets you to where you want to be by the time you come in. I don't want to say as a finished product, but as a polished product, because you're kind of never a finished product, but you kind of just don't get to get polished totally out in the wild. Because if you even start making a name for yourself remotely, I think you're just gone. Like, someone will sign you up. But look, I'm also maybe speaking out of school because I've been removed from the independents for so long that I don't have my finger on the pulse completely of like what it's like these days. But I certainly know it's not like it was.
Well, guys, we encourage you to check out Clash of the Castle this Saturday from Scotland. Sami Zayn, I want to thank you so much for being so generous with your time and joining us today. I mean, you got this huge match coming up, you and Chad Gable. Have the audience in the palm of your hands already. Like, we're wondering what's Otis going to do? How will Maxine react? How will Tozawa react? Another guy who has wrestled all over the globe. And man, people are ready. People are ready for this.
You know, that's just my favorite thing in the whole world, is just having people, getting them hooked on a ride like this and not knowing what's next and just wanting to see how a story is going to unfold. It's just like the most addictive and most amazing thing. And I know I've been wrestling for a long time, but God, I still love it so much. And I love this aspect of it that you don't really get to do. Even in WWE, like, you're lucky to get to do a good storyline that kind of has people on the edge of their seat. Yeah. Like, just what's going to happen next? Oh, when's it going to happen? You know, like, it's just the funnest thing in the whole world. So I'm really looking forward. I'm sure something will happen. Something consequential is going to happen this Saturday, because it feels like it's really at a boiling point. But what it is, we'll just have to watch and see.
Oh, I love the Otis promo, because I don't think there was any on-screen performer that was hurt more by the pandemic than Otis, and getting to really fulfill what we saw with he and Mandy. So for him to bring that up and bring up Tucker and bring up all that stuff, ooh, I love that, because that wasn't something you used to really see referenced on WWE TV. I'm here for this ride. Sami Zayn, I want to thank you so much for all the time.
Thank you for having me, buddy.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
Appreciate it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.